This message is being addressed to our many Jewish friends. Our subject is, After Yom Kippur, What? I am Dr. Gerald L. Stover, and I enjoy so much the friendship of many of the Jewish people. And I address this thoughtful message to you, our friends. The subject, again, I repeat, is After Yom Kippur, What? The Jewish year begins with Rosh Hashanah, the name itself meaning beginning of the year. It occurs on the first day of the seventh month, or Tishri, corresponding to September-October. Tishri is the seventh month on the religious calendar, and is considered to be a sabbatical month. In other words, what the seventh day is to the week, the seventh month is to the year. The first day of Tishri is considered holy as a Sabbath. Incidentally, the ancient rabbis were convinced that God created the world in the first week of Tishri. This really has no foundation in fact, but this is what they believed. Thus, the first day of Tishri is designated a Sabbath because it marked the beginning of creation, thus the beginning of the year. Its celebration as a Sabbath is in keeping with Leviticus 23:24, where it says, in quotes, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation," end of quotes. The biblical name is considered to be Memorial of Blowing, Leviticus 23:24, or Day of Blowing, Numbers 29:1. But the accepted and popular designation for the day is Rosh Hashanah. The blowing of the trumpets characterized the day as a time of worship and repentance. The shofar, that is, the horn of a ram, was blown, served a variety of purposes, but on this day, it became a national call to repentance, self-examination, and this in preparation for the great day of atonement, Yom Kippur. 10 days lapsed between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, according to Leviticus 23:23-27. They are referred to at times as 10 days of repentance, the days of awe, so-called because they are intended to be days of awesome awareness of God's power. This is especially important because in these days, God is viewed primarily as judge. The days become times of sober reflection, self-judgment, introspection, repentance, prayer, confession of guilt, and petition for forgiveness one to another. Among the very devout Jews, some wear the burial shroud as a means of reminding men that their confession and repentance must be sincere. Life is uncertain. Mortality is the common experience of man. Divine judgment is a certainty, and thus the 10 days of repentance. In these days, the Jews seek to be reconciled to God and their fellow men. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year, is really celebrated over 2 days among traditional Jews. This custom has its origin in very ancient times, when there was a degree of uncertainty about the transmission of the signal announcing the commencement of the new year with the appearance of the new moon. Many of the traditional Jews have an interesting ceremony for the afternoon of the first day. Breadcrumbs are tossed into or onto a body of water, and at the same time Micah 7:18-20 is repeated. Special emphasis is given to verse 19, which says, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And for this ceremony, the term tashli is employed, the word in the Hebrew meaning thou wilt cast. It is believed by the rabbis, and thus it is taught to the Jewish people, that during the new year, God opens three books. In one book, the names of all the righteous are registered. In the second book, there are the names of those who are not completely righteous, and yet they are not grossly wicked. Now, in the third book are the names of those who are utterly wicked. It is believed that on the New Year's Day, God judges the righteous as being worthy of proper rewards, such as life itself, welfare and good days of prosperity, deliverance from evil happenings, and, of course, they believe that such are worthy of inward peace. Does not the prayer book of the synagogue for New Year include the prayer, and I'm quoting, "In the book of life, blessing, peace, and good sustenance, may we be remembered and inscribed before thee, we and all thy people, the house of Israel, for a happy life and peace. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who makest peace." End of quotes. The second book that I've just referred to contains the record of all the deeds, good and bad, of those who are considered not grossly wicked and yet not altogether righteous. It is believed that now they have 10 days of repentance, these days being the awesome days, the days being called Yomim Noreim. On the days of atonement, should I say the Day of Atonement, 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, God will judge them as worthy of life or destruction, material gain or loss, health or adversity. And those whose names appear in the third book can look forward to nothing but the condemnation of the Lord and eternal death. Now, it is easily seen, then, in the light of these concepts of God, sin, judgment, repentance, and forgiveness, that the 10 days are really days of awesome, heart-searching. For upon the attitudes manifested in these days hangs the destiny of souls. On Yom Kippur, Jews gather for 24 hours to seek atonement for sins, including divine forgiveness. Jews have no temple, priest, or sacrificial system today, and therefore the rabbis have provided what they esteem to be adequate sacrifices for sin, namely repentance, prayer, and charity. Even one's own sufferings are considered to be sacrificial and substitutionary. The study of the law, the Talmud in particular, and even one's own death is considered substitutionary for sin. So it is with Judaism around the world. And as one thinks in terms of these great holidays, and thinks in terms of the fact that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur each year are past experiences, and this causing many Jews to reflect, why not reflect upon the many facets of the religious experience itself? Think seriously upon the question, what is the foundation of all our Jewish beliefs? What is the base for all that which constitutes our Jewish heritage? Upon what do we base the origin of our nation, our concept of the eternal God, the giving of the Torah, the record of Jewish history, including the institution of holy days, feast days, fast days, and all the ceremony related to each? Is not the foundation of it all to be identified with the Tanakh, the sacred writings, the canon of Scripture commonly received by Judaism throughout the centuries is indeed the foundation of all of these blessed days. By the canon of Scripture, we mean the law, the Torah, consisting of its five books of Moses, the prophets, that is, the Nevi'im, with the former and latter prophets, the writings, the Ketuvim, including the poetical books, the five rolls, the Megillah, and the historical books, 24 in all. The canon is rearranged in the translation of the books into Greek, later into English, but this is irrelevant at the moment. What we're saying is that the foundation of all that is Judaic, in reality, is the Word of God, namely the writings referred to a moment ago. Now, if the Tanakh is the foundation of Judaism, then it must be conceded that the practices of Judaism must have their roots in the sacred pages of God's Word. Historic Judaism professes faith in the divine inspiration of its scriptures. It is upon this inerrant authority that the practices of Judaism stand or fall. The scriptures of Judaism are available to the reader today, to any who wish to read, to any who care enough to search out truth for themselves. It is imperative to read and believe from the sacred writings that God is holy, infinitely holy. Read Exodus 15:11. 1 Samuel 6:20 and Habakkuk 1:12 and 13. God cannot compromise with sin. God cannot condone it in the minutest measure. This is proven by Job 34:10 and Psalm 18:30 and Deuteronomy 32:4, where in all of the writings of Moses and the prophets is there one word even whispered to the effect that God grades a sin or places it in different categories made by men? Where is there one word of discussion of the book of life to the effect that God inscribes names today, or to the effect that there are three books containing names representing men of different moral qualities or conditions? Is there any scripture in the whole of the Tanakh in which it is said that God, the God of Israel, will accept any human offering of good works, morality, martyrdom, death, charity, the blood of a rooster or hen, in exchange for his righteousness? Does not God say in Genesis 15:6, in quotes, "And he," that is Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness"? Abraham was declared righteous on the ground of his faith in the Word of God. Righteousness is credited to the man, to any man, who believes God, who takes God at his word. Forgiveness or atonement is always based on the shedding of blood in the Tanakh. It is never founded on good works. God never exchanges heaven, forgiveness, righteousness for man's offering of works or morality. Did not Isaiah write, "Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." And I am reading from Isaiah 45:24 and 25. What I want you to see is that righteousness is in the Lord, not in the morality and the works of man. And righteousness is bestowed upon the man, and only upon the man who, like Abraham, takes God at his word. Isaiah wrote, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Isaiah 64:6. Jeremiah agrees with Isaiah, "Though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 2:22-29. The Tanakh declares that man's need is a new life. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:25-26. This new and wonderful experience is known in the Word of God as the new birth. Jesus, in his teaching, declared that man must be born from above. John 3:3-7. Man's need is not a new environment, a new philosophy. His need is new life. And this life is in God's Son, the Messiah, of Psalm 2. The Messiah of Isaiah 52:13-53-12. Through faith in his atoning death, as delineated by Isaiah and the psalmist in Psalms 22:69, man is justified from all guilt, forgiven all sin, and ushered into the family of God. In the New Testament, John 1:11-12, Romans 5:1, and Romans 8:1 make this crystal clear. All the striving of multitudes in 10,000 days of awe cannot achieve what man basically needs, namely a new life, a new standing by faith, membership in God's redeemed family, and hope for eternity. After Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, does one really have peace, real, unchanging peace with God? Is this your experience today? Is this your experience at this moment? Will this be your experience after the next round of holidays and holy days? My Jewish friend, I remind you that the God of Israel is holy, and that God will not exchange the works of man's hands for that which must satisfy his holiness, and with this satisfy God's justice. Only sacrifice can accomplish this. Not the sacrifice of blood, of bulls and of goats, for these things only pointed to a forthcoming of Messiah who was to suffer and die for his people. Not the blood of bulls and of goats, no, but the blood of the Messiah shed at a place called Calvary. This God will receive, and only this will God receive as the atonement for the sins of Jew and Gentile alike. I invite you today to think of the holy days and the holidays, and again ask the question, do you really have peace, real, unchanging peace with God as a result? Is it an unchanging peace? Is it a peace that will be there despite all problems? A peace that will be yours despite the storms, the depressing and the chaotic experiences of life? There is a peace that God offers through faith in Jesus the Messiah. I call upon you today to prayerfully consider this blessed one who loves you, who understands your needs, and who lives to meet those needs through faith in his blessed name. I have spoken to you about the subject, After Yom Kippur, What? This is Dr. Gerald L. Stover, and I thank you for listening, and may God bless you as you consider the message that we have endeavored to press upon your heart today.